Sermon, Preaching the Word of the Living God, Loma Linda, California, December 21, 1907. Sermon, Mrs. E. G. White, Assembly Hall, Loma Linda, California, Sabbath afternoon, December 21, 1907. I have not made a trial of my strength for some little time, because I have been completely used up with overwork. Today I have no idea of speaking my words to you. I will speak some of the words of the living God, as found in the Bible. It has come to my ears that in several important places in this part of the state, and elsewhere, there are some who are stirred up over the matter of doing all they can to enact and enforce Sunday laws. I wish to bring before you a few things that God has said in His Word regarding the sacredness and binding claims of the seventh-day Sabbath, as instituted in Eden. Genesis 2, verse 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. This is God's message to all the people that are upon the face of the earth. It is a record of the setting apart of the seventh day of the week as the Sabbath, as a day of rest. Exodus 20, verse 1 to 11. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, of that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor, and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Then follow the remaining 6 commandments. Verses 18 to 21. And all the people saw the thunderings, and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed, and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. The Lord has given us his word for our instruction and guidance. And yet there are men, ministers, physicians, and others, in our world who dare to stand up against the word of the living God and substitute in its stead the word of man by creating a false Sabbath. From the light that God has given me, I know that this work will increase, and every influence possible will be brought to bear to make of no effect God's commandments, and to make of so much importance the observance of the first day of the week that penalties will be imposed upon those who may choose to regard it as a common day. God's holy Sabbath will be trampled underfoot. In this time of peril, we should all be wide awake. Everyone who is blessed with the talent of speech and with influence should be able to speak intelligently on the Sabbath question by appealing to a plain, Thus saith the Lord. And the testimony of the Scriptures should settle the matter with every one who believes the word of the living God. But Satan has had his way so long, and there are so many kept in utter ignorance of what is truth that the enemy thinks he can take the whole world captive if men can be induced to enact laws compelling every one to rest on Sunday and to regard that as a holy day. Those who have an intelligent knowledge of the truth need not be deceived by the sophistries of the enemy. They may take the word of God and read what the Lord has said regarding his holy Sabbath day. At the time of the creation, he set it apart as a perpetual memorial of his work as creator. And when the children of Israel encamped round about Sinai, he came down in awful grandeur, and there spoke his law. Afterward, he wrote the law with his own finger upon tables of stone. This law that was engraved in stone by the finger of God will be the standard of right doing in the day of judgment, when every case will come up in review. As teachers, as students, as brethren and sisters in the true church, we must be wide awake and place ourselves in right relation to God, and he will place himself in right relation to us. What we want is that the power of the Most High God shall be our strength, our defense, our help. In this work, we are not to give up to the forces of the enemy that are seeking to have their own way. I have read from the record in the 2nd of Genesis and the 20th of Exodus. Now I will read from the 31st chapter of Exodus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Verses 1 to 3. To the youth who have come to this school for a training that will fit them to connect with some branch of the Lord's work, I wish to say, you may so relate yourselves to the God of heaven that you will be blessed in everything you shall be called upon to do in connection with his cause of truth. If you work humbly, in meekness and lowliness of heart, the Lord God of Israel will so impress the human mind that you will have wisdom to do your work aright. Angels of light will be present to help you. What we need is to have the fear of God in mind and heart. Our devotion to him must be constant. We must realize that the words God has spoken in giving us a standard of right doing, as recorded in the Scriptures, can never be changed. It is eternal truth that is presented to us in his word. Verses 12 to 15. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. To have a knowledge of that law that God came from heaven to Sinai's mount to speak to his people, and yet in defiance of that law to dare desecrate the Sabbath by laboring on that day, this would constitute an offense meriting the severest punishment, even death, for it would indicate that the transgressor despised the word of the Lord. Verse 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. How long? For a perpetual covenant. Now, my friends, you have evidence of the truth on these points. The word of the living God is speaking to you. The voice of God is heard, proclaiming the seventh-day Sabbath as a perpetual covenant. Verses 17, 18. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested, and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. The Sabbath commandment was one of those engraven with the finger of God. But Satan and his host have thought that they could take the world captive and make them believe that the Sabbath commandment is no longer binding. And they have been working on this line very diligently. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy. In the 4th chapter we read, Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Verse 1. That ye may live. Verse 1. To keep the commandments of God, and to live in harmony with His will, means life to us. No human agency can set up his own will independently of God's will, and yet remain a child of God and an heir to life eternal.
Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. The Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep, therefore, and do them, we read in the next verse. And why? For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes, and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. This is the impression that is to be made upon human agencies round about us. We are not to feel as if obedience to God's commands would weaken our influence or lessen our reputation in the sight of the world. For obedience brings us into harmony with the living Jehovah. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? God wants you to take these assurances and to have a living faith, not a dead faith. He wants you to come up to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest thy depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons, and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only ye heard a voice. And He declared unto you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And He wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. The Lord then cautioned them, through Moses, not to worship any manner of similitude, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, etc. He goes on to specify that instead of worshiping the likeness of anything, they should keep God before their minds. All the idols and all the other representations that might be made were to be regarded as of no account. The Israelites were to direct their minds to the Lord God of heaven, who liveth and abideth forever. In the 5th chapter of Deuteronomy, the 10 commandments are repeated. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor, and do all thy work. But the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, not thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And ye said, Behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. These words indicated unbelief. God desired that they should hear his voice, but they were so fearful, they begged Moses that they might not hear it. Who is there of all flesh, they inquired, that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as we have, and lived?
Go thou near, they pleaded with Moses, and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me, and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them, and with their children forever. Verses 26 to 29. And then God bade Moses, Go say to them, Get you into your tents again. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments, and the statutes, and the judgments, which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Verses 30 to 33. Moses specified carefully the will of God concerning his people. Now these, he declared, are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days be prolonged. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1, 2. Their success and their life, everything, in fact, depended on their obedience. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Verses 3 to 5. This takes in the whole man, all there is of him. As he hangs his helpless soul upon the Lord God of heaven, his prosperity is assured. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Verses 6, 7. Fathers, mothers, you have a church in your own house. In the place of occupying your mind with many things of minor importance, you should give yourself, heart and mind and soul, to the very work appointed you by the Lord God of Israel, the work of educating and training your children for the kingdom of heaven. These words, which I command thee, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou filledst not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. Verses 6 to 12. Does not this remind you of our experiences in connection with the purchase of Loma Linda? It reminds me of what we found here. God has brought us into this place in order that we might have a strength and power that otherwise we could not have. And now that we are here, he desires that every soul who possibly can help should do his utmost to relieve this institution from financial embarrassment. When we came here, we found no treatment rooms sufficiently large for a sanitarium of this size, and so those in charge of the institution had to build an addition. This cost considerable money, but as we look over the improvements that had to be made, we have no complaint to offer. We rather rejoice that the Lord God of heaven pointed out to us this very property and helped us to secure it. Houses full of all good things. Verse 12. What else could we think of but this scripture when we first visited this place and went into room after room, and saw the beautiful furniture and nearly everything else necessary for the convenience and comfort of sanitarium patients? When I saw these things and remembered God's promises, I had not a doubt but that the money would be forthcoming for the purchase of this place, although at first the discouragement was tremendous. At a small council meeting held in Los Angeles on a weekday to consider the propriety of purchasing Loma Linda, Brother Simpson, the evangelist whom we have since buried and whom we deeply miss, suggested that a call be made there for contributions toward the enterprise. I had been speaking at considerable length and was just ready to go to another room to take a cold bath, as is my custom after speaking. At first I hesitated, as there was only a mere handful of us together, and I feared we might discourage instead of encourage by failing to raise very much means at this time. "Suppose we try," Brother Simpson said. "Well, do so if you wish," I said. I went out and took my bath, and soon after I had finished and had gone into another room close by, Brother Simpson came to report that there was raised in cash and pledges nearly $1,100. I never expected anything of this kind from so small a company. Brother Simpson seemed overjoyed at the result. It was at this meeting that many objections were swept away from the minds of some who had hesitated over purchasing Loma Linda. My faith in the enterprise was confirmed, and since that time, I have never doubted but that we could carry it through successfully. Thank God. Loma Linda is now in our possession. And as I look around and see all the conveniences that we have here, I cannot help praising God. This assembly hall we are now in has proved a great blessing. It has served as a meeting house and as a place for the students to gather together for classwork. When the proper time comes, we shall expect to have something different for a meeting house. But just now, when there is a dearth of means, we are very glad to have so convenient a place as this is. At the time when the children of Israel entered into the land of Canaan, where they found great and goodly cities which they built not, and houses full of all good things, they were not only warned to beware lest they should forget the Lord, but were counseled to serve Him, and Him alone. "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve Him," they were counseled, "and shall swear by His name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee." Verses 10, 11, 13 to 17. These are principles that we should keep before the people in this our day. If we walk humbly with God, we shall have success with the people. But we must not dally too long, lest the enemy come in like a flood against us. Already the forces of evil are at work in an effort to have enacted a Sunday law, which would bring much hardship on some God-fearing people. We are to meet this issue by preaching the Word of the living God. The Word is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. As we present the Sabbath truth direct from the Word of God, tracing it through from creation to the new earth, the testimony of the living God, as recorded in His Word, will have a powerful effect on those who hear. Our strength in meeting the Sunday law issue is to be found in bringing to the attention of the people a plain "Thus saith the Lord." I am glad that additions have been made to the number of students in attendance at Loma Linda. Now let every member of the school, including those who have just come in, make the most of the opportunities afforded at this place. There is a work in which all can engage, the work of selling Christ's object lessons and ministry of healing. The Lord impressed me to dedicate these two books in the relief of our institutional work. When Christ's object lessons was taken hold of in earnest by the publishers and by our people throughout the field, a mighty work was done in a comparatively short time. Nearly $300,000 was brought in through the sale of this book, and many who engaged in its circulation received great blessings. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God may come into the hearts of the students at this place and enable them to do valiant service in the circulation of these two books. Ministry of Healing should be circulated freely. I have done my part in offering the proceeds of this book for the relief work. I can do no more except to continue to stir up the minds of others to do their part faithfully. All our publishing houses are willing to do their part nobly in behalf of the relief work. The General Conference has planned for a liberal sale of both object lessons and ministry. In our work for God, we should strive to help one another. When one undertakes a work in which others can help, the Lord is pleased to witness a spirit of hearty cooperation. I have not known whether I should have strength to meet with you again, and so I have presented these matters before you today. In the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, we read, "The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, not choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments, to 1,000 generations." Verses 6-9. Oh, what a God we have! He never fails us, unless first we fail of doing his will. Our God repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him, he will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments, and the statutes, and the judgments, which I command thee this day, to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers, and he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. Verses 10-13. All these promises are of great consequence to us. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. We may trace these thoughts all the way through the Word. I wish that you would trace them out for yourselves. When those in opposition to the truth seek to magnify a man-made law in the place of God's law, let us present the plain words of Scripture in answer to their claims. Let us exalt God. Let us magnify His name. Deuteronomy 10, verse 11-15. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. As you trace these things out for yourselves and read them, they will have a special influence upon your work. And as you present them to the people who are unacquainted with God's holy law, they will have great weight and will influence many in the right way. And in your presentation of Scriptures, do not forget the very last chapter of Revelation. This is a precious Scripture. There it is that we are told the results of keeping the commandments of God. Those who are faithful in keeping them as God has given them, even as they were written with his own finger upon two tables of stone, will have right to the tree of life. They will finally come into a position where they will be granted an abundant entrance into the New Jerusalem, the city of our God. Oh, how many times I have thought of this, over and over and over again. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Revelation 22, verse 1 to 4. Thank God. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Verses 12 to 14. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Verses 16, 17. Let us consider this. Oh, there is so much that we can compass by a living, active faith. I have longed to be able to meet with you oftener, dear youth, so that I could speak to you. But I have nearly used up my strength, and today I thought I would come on a venture to see whether I could address you. The Lord has given me more strength than I expected to have. I had thought that I might sit in a chair and read some of these scriptures, but that way of addressing you is not according to my liking. So I have stood on my feet, and the Lord has given me strength sufficient to speak to you. Now let us all exert ourselves to the utmost to make a success of this precious place that we have the advantage of possessing. And we may do so if only we walk in the way of the Lord. Let us help all we can to relieve this institution of debt. I have done my part. The publishers have done their part. The General Conference has done its part. Now it rests with the teachers and students and friends of the work here at Loma Linda to do their part. The two books, Christ's Object Lessons and Ministry of Healing, contain precious light. Many should have this light. In Southern California, there are special opportunities for distributing these books because there are so many people constantly coming and going. We are in a remarkable thoroughfare of travel. If we were living missionaries, we would be improving these extraordinary opportunities to disseminate the light of the truth. May God help us henceforth to do our duty faithfully. May He help us to cling to Him, the Mighty One, and to His promises. The students in our schools need to have a thorough training in missionary work. A precious opportunity for service is afforded in the chance to circulate these two books. Now is our time to labor with untiring diligence. Before long we shall be scattered. We shall not always be able to be together as we are now. Our time for work is short. The opposing influences are gathering strength, and now is our time to labor for the spread of the third angel's message. May God let His blessing rest upon you, dear students, and teach you what it means to walk and work by faith and not by sight. In every way possible, seek to relieve this sanitarium and this school from indebtedness. These institutions need your help. Do not pass them by, nor discourage others from helping them. Do the very best you can to help Brother Burden to bear his burdens. The Lord God of Israel desires us to link up in holy union with Himself and exercise the living faith that works by love and purifies the soul. He desires that we shall be a working corps of laborers with adaptability for His service, and He promises to help us to win a glorious victory for Him.